Namaste.
Namaste.
And welcome to this special evening. And welcome, Narad.
Welcome. Nice meeting you after a long, long time.
Yes, but yes. We have done so many
together.
Series, yes, together, yes, maybe, yes, almost, yes, 200, I think.
Yes, yes.
So, just briefly to tell you an experience I had about 3 weeks ago. I was sitting alone looking at the photos of Sri Aurobindo and Mother, and suddenly a very strong intuition came down and said, you must do a series on the world situation in the light of Sri Aurobindo and Mother. This has not been done before. So I phoned Alok Bhai, and he immediately agreed. So this may be, knowing the situation of the world at the moment, a series of talks. The first one that Alok and I discussed is about these plane crashes around the world. So please begin, sir.
Yes, so this is the question which has been, is the burning question today.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are asking about the recent plane crash and the crashes that are happening all around the world. So on the surface, now obviously we are not going to talk about all the nitty-gritties of flying, though being from the Air Force background, a little bit I am aware of that. And I did meet some people who are friends. But leave that aside, because that lot of people are discussing all over the internet.
So, and constantly there's new things being revealed.
Yeah, yes, that's true. But if we take the full picture, which obviously I'm not going into the details because they are well available now. If we go into the picture, one thing which comes very obvious is that there was a problem in the electrical system. So there was these aircrafts have been whistleblower, there have been people who have been talking about it. Now this is not this, we'll go deeper into it, but to start with. So possibly there was a problem in manufacturing, not design. Design is a different thing. Design is about avionics, and manufacturing means you don't take care to, you know, to be precise. So that's something else. And if we go to the root of manufacturing is one part. And second is if there is a sabotage. Now that's a theory which has been going around. There is no evidence as yet of that. But it's rife with speculation, because there are plenty of people involved in aircraft maintenance. It's a very precise work. Being in the Air Force, I know every system has to be checked thoroughly before the plane is flying. This is one part of it. But why these two things come under a scanner? Question mark is, because if you see the last, as you said, why it is increasing. So, see, basically industry, any industry, aviation industry or any industry, is driven by market, which is greed for money. Now, when there is a greed for money, you promise many more things than you can deliver.
Yes.
And when you promise many more things, you compromise, because it's like quantity, but you compromise on quality, because it's physically not possible to do that. So this compromise, if you ask me what is the deeper reason, I would say it is greed which killed. Human greed. So this is one part immediately. And if we don't address this aspect, then we are just playing with some surface thing. There will be some inspection and people will be paid up and things will be hushed, much like what happened with the vaccine thing. So something very similar, and eventually people will go around, they forget and go about. But how to address human greed and the for money, you know, one of the byproducts of competitive capitalism, which I'm not discussing which system is better, because all are as good and as worse. Depends on, all human systems have imperfections. But here, now, especially when you have a near monopoly in a market, so how do you address the greed? This is a big challenge. To me, the only solution that comes through is a spiritual evolution. I don't see any other way. It cannot be done by lecturing and telling people, and you know, most people will not even believe that, you know. But this is a fact that greed kills. How? You know, when you manufacture things, you now, in small things it probably doesn't matter. But when you are flying an aircraft, even a hairline problem, this I can tell you, that even a hairline issue can be disastrous, because avionics works like that. So it has a reserve. By and large, it will be taken care of. But if you have missed things, the same applies in everyday maintenance, because aircrafts are coming in and going fast. Yes. This particular aircraft, if you see from Delhi to Ahmedabad, it flew and some passenger actually noted electrical spark. He took a video. Now that video has gone public. He was not taking a video of the wings. He was taking a video of outside. He noticed some sparks. But then how did it take off? It took off because obviously the maintenance part, the people didn't care. They just gave a clearance for the plane to fly. Why again? Because money. You can't ground. So this is one part. There's a lot of competition going on. And this is now extending the discussion a little deeper into this domain. Last 2-3 years especially. So being from India, my natural impulse was promote our airlines. So I've been traveling with Air India. And very frankly, I've been very happy till 2 years back. And suddenly I noticed lots of baggages, delays, extraordinary delays, cancellations. And while the people who were applying were very nice, their PR department is really good. But my own hunch was that there is a something going on which is not very clean, because why a particular airline this is happening? I don't believe that, you know, the Tatas as a group is such
But worldwide there's such frequency, yes, of these accidents.
So that's because of the now, the, as I said, greed. So when you manufacture planes, say, and you are in a rush to, you know, cover distances, fly more frequently, so there is going to be a problem. That's a compromise on the quality. And here, we have to remember that this is the domain of Mahasaraswati. And the least negligence, least misapplication of equipment is going to be a disaster. So there was a time when, say, when Germans made things, there was a lot of precision. I mean, our own Matrimandir is a witness to that. Japan. Now Japan has also taken the other route. So Mahasaraswati, whoever takes care to details is going to be rewarded. As simple as that. You may do Saraswati Puja every February. I'm just saying in the Indian context. But if you don't regard the divine presence in matter, and you take it that matter is unconscious, then you are going to have problems. This is one part. This is only the surface analysis. Now, okay, is there a way that it also could have been overridden? So Mother described that the material determinism is one layer of determinism. And there are several other layers. And she described very interestingly that there are people, and this may come as a little bit of a shocker, because everybody is saying one person survived. Now Mother describes precisely this kind of incidence, that yes, there are people who bring misfortunes. And she gives the example of boat capsize. And she takes talks about a couple who used to say that, well, it has happened, you know, boats have been capsized and we survived. And the mother laughed and said, probably they were the ones who were bringing the misfortune. So this idea, I'm not by any means saying that somebody brought misfortune, but we must understand that there is, and they survive. That's the strange part.
Yeah.
So there are people who do attract certain forces. So things are this much and they suddenly exaggerate because they call in a cloud. Ultimately, all this is because of play of forces, as we know, adverse forces which love to create accidents, which love to create chaos. The third reason which he gives behind every accident is basically unconsciousness, which is inattention, not unconsciousness in terms of technicality. And this is so true. I mean, we all have experienced looking into the mobile and walking and you suddenly bump your head against something and you say, what happened? Yeah. And you realize that, you know, I was inattentive. So, a moment of unconsciousness, and again here she says something very interesting. We may use the word pilot error, but that's too simplifying a thing. She says there are forces which actually cover up your eye. And she speaks of a boy who was on the rail track and a train is coming and everybody was telling the boy that move away. Yeah. But these things actually cover your eyes. And you don't see the obvious. So I'm not talking of this accident, but in general accidents, you miss the obvious. Because a little inattention and something which was glaring, staring, you miss it.
Yeah.
But this is a third reason how these forces operate. Then there is another interesting reason. Of course, people speak about collective karma and collective destiny. Sri Aurobindo and the mother discredit that. No, there is nothing like that. Everybody had to die together and you know, go. It's not like that. So, attention, consciousness, how it gets impaired is when these pilots have very tight schedules. Some of them don't take enough sleep. I know of, actually in our Air Force, we had very strict regulations that in the morning if the pilot had taken a drink or was unwell, they would come to us and we would make them unfit. Now, of course, there were people who would just not want to fly and say, Doc, can you just give me rest? That's different. But it is supposed to be a very strict. You don't just go and fly an aircraft just like that. I don't see that happening. You know, they are supposed to be checked even for alcohol.
But there are others who have a sense of impending disaster.
So this is the next level. That's about possibilities of averting it. Now, there are people who get indications. Here now, nobody has really survived to tell us a story. But I'll tell you a few stories, very interesting. Here also, very interesting, that on the day of the crash, one of the cartoons which was published in one of the magazines, I think Midday is a Bombay that, you know, they distribute. So that magazine had a picture of Air India office and it was written Happy Father's Day. You see the picture. This was exactly the picture when the plane crashed with its nose jutting out. It's their official picture actually. Is of just the nose part jutting out of the building. You can search and see. You see. And that particular day it was published. So it reminded me of one of the stories of the mother where she says that there was a person who in France and he was going to go out and take a lift. Then he saw a cartoon and in the cartoon he saw that there is a man who is pointing someone that come. And somehow that time to his eyes that picture where he is inviting seemed like a coffin. And when the lift comes and the door opens, he suddenly sees the boy and he says, this is the boy I somehow saw in that cartoon. And he takes the stair and the lift crashes. I have had a very similar experience of actually seeing that I am going in a car and the car turns into a hearse. There is a boy who is driving. He is driving now recklessly. And I tell him, where are you going? And he is reckless. So half of the car, actually I was to travel with my wife and son to Chennai. Suddenly I see these two have gone. The car is somehow, it's hers, but the same man is driving. And as we, the color of car, everything I noted. And as we hit the place, he stops at a place which I see that it's a, it's not Muthialpet, but a place where is a cremation ground. So he says it's the cremation ground. The meaning was very clear. So I discussed with Kavita, but thing is ki we couldn't have stalled that journey because it was for my visa interview. So I told them that you guys don't come because I have seen something. I have to go. I have no choice. Of course, I can take a bus. That was another. And she insisted, no, we'll go. So what I did was, I don't know why this idea came. I just tweaked the image. It may sound very strange. I offered everything to mother, prayed for protection, and I tweaked. Tweaked in the sense that in the car there was a certain arrangement. And we just changed the arrangement. I asked the person who was sending the car that what color car are you sending? And to my horror and surprise, it was the same color car. And I said, no, please send me a white color car. I actually tweaked that whole thing and prayed. Now that first part of the journey till our literal Muthialpet, it was so reckless. It seemed like couple of trucks which are just going to, but constantly I was calling mother. And then I was, after that, I just told him, Jagratam, Jagratam, don't. Young boy, very similar. And then, of course, after crossing a point, I knew that. So events can change. There is nothing like an ineluctable. I have so many stories of seeing them, but most of the time we don't take cognizance. So I feel that surely there must have been people who did smell something. People are given indications, but most of the time, for whatever reasons, you don't cancel a trip. Maybe you cannot cancel certain trips, but then in that case, you must really invoke the divine presence and protection. Yes. So here I am reminded of something which the mother advised, and it's a habit ingrained in the ashram ethos, and I would advise everybody to do that. So whenever people went for picnic, that a picnic is nothing, you are just going up to the lake. So people would go and pray to the mother, and everything was written, who all are going, all the details, and she would approve and they would go. Once Pranabdha did not inform her, and they went for a picnic, and they came back. And that day, he says, mother wrote in her diary, which later on he was, obviously she must have wanted him to see it. She says, I see that my children are now emancipated and they do not need my active presence in their midst.
And the boy who drowned?
That was another one.
Ah.
So there, because he said that, they don't need, they think that informing me is just a formality. So here in the ashram, one of the things you learn, because picnics are still there, and there have been accidents. Once there was a big accident near Chennai, but before going, nothing happened except to the vehicle. Before going, there is a little concentration. Very interesting it is. And I personally follow it to a detail that, mother, I am traveling by this flight. This is the time that I am traveling. And this is the seat number. And your grace and protection. Now, there is no fear, honestly. But I feel this is, we have to connect with her in every possible situation. This once was as part of our spiritual self culture, or even a religious culture, is no more there. People don't think God is only when there is some crisis. But as the mother says, you have no idea how many times you are protected. So, actually, I feel we are only noticing a crash. Yeah. We don't know how many times we all had a brush with death.
And we're never aware of the cause.
We are not even aware that something could have happened. I have had situations which later on, you look back and see. So please invoke the mother. Ask for a grace and protection. Wherever you are traveling, it doesn't matter. It may be a trivial thing. But nothing is trivial for your relation with the Divine Mother. It goes to so much extent, how precise, see the Mahasaraswati. And this I have experienced it. So people would go from, you know, their house, they would come to the ashram, then they would go to their place of work. So Mother knew what is the path they are taking. It's a very small distance. You can go through Manakul Vanaigar street, you may go through this street, you may go through that street. What does it matter? Yeah. But she knew. And one day when somebody took another path, she said, why did you do that? I have noticed in myself one odd day, I have my own route, and if I take another route, I know that this is not something which I should be doing. Of course, nothing happens, I pray to, but I feel inside that this is, I should have taken that route, but for some reason it happens. Nothing happens, that's okay. But to that extent of precision, that's how Mahasaraswati works. So we have cut off God from our lives. Of course, we keep the Gita. That's, people are showing that, you know, Gita survived. That's not the issue. That doesn't speak, you know, the Gita. A reader should have survived, honestly, you know. So people keep those things, but they don't connect with the Divine Presence, which alone can override everything. So I would suppose that pilots we can't, but all of us who are traveling. So there she comes to the other side of the story. She says, I have seen if there is one person in the group who is conscious, it can avoid an imminent catastrophe. And this is the example of this this captain. Captain means our ashram playground, the group activities. We have captains. So a big crane had fallen. It could have killed so many workers and nothing happened. Everybody saved by an inch or there. So this thing was reported to the mother. She said, yes, because the captain was in the right attitude.
Remember when the great earthquake killed 70,000 people?
Yes.
And this child said to mother, couldn't you save some of them? And she said, very few people are aware of their psychic being.
Yes, so there is another aspect of it, because people want and expect grace to act just randomly on every event. We must understand there are three things which operate in life. One is the purely material mechanical determinism. And most people lead a mechanical, soulless routine. I mean, it's a sad story, but it's true. Laughing, they're enjoying, but it's a soulless routine. Its life is carrying on mechanically. So most people are leading that. So they are completely subject to the mechanical determinism. So if there is a problem, you are likely to be caught and wiped off in that. It's the physical part. So yet, what about grace? Grace is still working. So what does grace do? Grace always looks beyond the life of a single body. It has its own way of handling those who are left behind. And right now I don't have the poem, but if somebody, when tsunami had come and many people had died, and of course this area was saved, mothers, people actually saw the mother protecting. So people had asked me this question, and I had written an article, and in that I had quoted a poem of Sri Aurobindo. Please read it, very interesting. It is The Lost Boat. So, replace the boat with an aircraft. That we see the immediate death, we see people drowning, we see the boat capsizing. What we do not see is what is waiting for them in the future. Sometimes in a life you have paid a heavy price. And all this is taken into account. There are so many instances of someone here whom the mother says that, well, mother had a very special affection towards her, and she was quite an uncouth lady. And people asked her, why so much affection you have towards her? And she says something very interesting. She says, you know, she has suffered a lot in her previous life. So, as particularly people who believe in all the Sanatana Dharma and all this, Now, this should not be used as an excuse for neglecting matter. That part is very clear. But we should look beyond the life of a body. And so when people use certain words like cruel destiny, why did the mother do something so cruel? We must understand that divine rarely acts directly on material existence because matter is not yet ready for the direct action. It will be pulverized. That's how she says, if I put my force, it will evaporate. Shobindo says that even he never used the supramental force, even though he had it, even in the world war. He was using the overmind force and he was asked why? Because supramental force is absolute. There is nothing. He says, because nobody will be ready to bear it. So you must understand that there is the divine action in the world, but it is through layers of determinism, which are fields of ignorance. So in a spiritual parlance, we use terms like vidya and avidya. Yes. So vidya is the oneness, the knowledge which stands behind, and avidya is the field of ignorance where all this happens. And this is allowed because, unfortunately, mother uses this sentence, unfortunately, man wakes up only to the lesson of a catastrophe.
And it's very true, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, I wish it was true. See, even that does not. I have seen so many instances being a doctor. I have seen people getting devastated. I have seen so many things. And I have wondered. I have wondered because I have noticed their life. And I have wondered how quickly we forget it. How quickly we just go about our life, just the normal routine. As if we are invulnerable. That story of Yudhishthir, Kimasharyam. So, you know, every day we see people dying, but we believe that we are at least some effort to discover, is there something known as the principle of immortality? Even so many people I have spoken to. It's okay, now they will weep for one day, except those who have suffered the loss, they, of course, for some time, and one should pray for peace. That's one part of it. And surely the divine will take care in his own way. Those who have gone, they will go ahead. They will go with their journey, and surely they have paid a price. They will get what they have to. But this forgetting the lesson at
one,
every level.
One day I was reading in one of the diaries where Sri Aurobindo says that those who have turned towards the integral yoga, even if they should turn away, they are protected.
Oh yes, Mother says so many words, even they who have turned hostile and gone away.
Yes.
But here only thing I would, you know, because it's for all the audience, who has turned to integral yoga is a big question. Because recently someone told me, somebody who is a devotee and a follower, I said, see, this is a label that we put too easily, devotee and follower. Shobindo writes in one of his letters, someone says, he is your follower. But then he writes his doubts, this, that, he wants to. Shivindra says, if that be the case, then whose follower is he? Follower means you want to follow. You may not be able to follow the footsteps of the divine. But at least you try a little to follow. So we should be careful, because many people can claim that they are practicing, or not practicing, but they are into integral yoga. It appeals to them as a philosophy. It appeals to them because they have admiration for Sri Aurobindo. Also because they are dishing here and there everywhere, which Mother has strongly talked about, because there are mixed influences which bring in very contrary forces. She went here in Pondicherry to the room of one of the sadhaks who called her, Mother, please come. And he has turned a devotee, apparently. And when she goes to her room, she sees... He had called her to meet his Guruji, and he saw that he is an asuric being. And he tried to tell her, don't talk about it. She says, what shall I do? People are... At one place, I'm forgetting the name of a person, there was a photograph in the house of some other, like people put, no, saints, sages, husband, wife, God knows, you know. I don't understand why they have such an attachment, but anyways, I am not going to judge. But people put all kinds of photographs. And there is a disciple who was running high fever, and mother is sending her force and something is amiss, so she goes there. The moment she sees this photograph, she says, remove it. It's cancelling, contradicting.
Yeah.
You are strongly under the influence of such. So see, if we say that we are devotee, we should be devoted. If we say we are a follower, we must try to really be sincere and faithful. So fact is, and this is known since ages, I think Bible says so, Krishna says so, that they who have faith will be saved. This is the eternal teaching. But faith is very different from, say, living in the ashram, or you know, simply getting the label or prosperity chit holder. These questions were asked to Sri Aurobindo. Yeah. There have been incidents which happened even during that time. Of course, there are some real, real disastrous events in individuals' life which cannot be understood in this way. They have to be understood in a very different context. One of the stories is Mool Shankar. But again, see, that was, he used to be the Massachusetts for Sri Aurobindo's after the accident. And Sri Aurobindo, see, there are certain things we have to avoid. We carry atmosphere. So before going on a journey, just try to be quiet. Don't, talk to your wife or husband, yeah, but don't get into animated discussions with the mobile, all kinds of things moving around your head in excitement. And I mean, somebody who is conscious inside is different, but very few, as you said, are conscious of the psychic being. So one should be very careful. So Sri Aurobindo, on the Independence Day, when India got independence, now a lot of excitement and hangama was going on, partly because Pondicherry had not yet got independence. So there was a lot of excitement and anger, both in the air. Now that is something else subject. But Sri Aurobindo and the mother did not want any disciples to go out anywhere in the crowd. But Mool Shankar went. Excitement. Let me see what's happening. He was stabbed. And it is said that this is the only time Sri Aurobindo people saw a serious face. So we have to understand that in the present conditions of the world, absolute protection is a very, very rare thing, because world is governed by the forces of ignorance which are always on the lookout. And I would, that's why I quote the Gita, which Sri Aurobindo says, very explains. The Gita says two verses. So it says, while dying, if you remember God, you are saved. You are liberated. So Sri Aurobindo says, it's not a last minute edifying Christian death, where you are baptized before death. He says, you have to read this in conjunction with what the Gita says. And the Gita says that, well, therefore, O Partha, remember me at all times and fight. And especially about those who are on the path, they are the ones which are the targets. So even more. So this remember and offer to be ingrained in our life, inbuilt in our system. Not with fear of death, but it's if we are really devotees, that should be the way of life. So these are many factors which operate. There are individuals who survive all kinds of things, held by the grace. I myself experienced quite a number of times. And there are those whom, well, they may be devotees. Even in this crash, somebody published a picture and said, something at so and so center. I said, that people asked me, I said, that's in the present conditions of the world, we must know when supermind is fully active, then you will have no possibility of accidents, immunity against accident. But Sri Aurobindo said it's one of the last things.
Yeah. Accidents. I was told that even Mahesh and his wife,
yes,
who was working on the translation into Gujarati, were killed.
So you have to be very careful, because right now the world, especially when the world is in a state of total turmoil, as is happening now. Yeah. So the forces that are flying around are all kinds. I am never for fear and yoga don't go together. One should be fearless and courageous. But at the same time, one should not be foolish. I mean, the line is sometimes very thin. Invoke the mother's presence and go about life in wherever one is and remember her. It's one of those things that people do. I have seen very strange examples. I'm giving one of the Swamiji's actually. He's turned to Sri Aurobindo and the mother. But he has his own following. Plenty of people follow him. So he told me, I am going to fly and I get very nervous. I get motion sickness and this sickness, that sickness. You tell me, I can't go to anybody and tell them that I have a problem. I said, very simple, take mother's name. He said, but I get very nervous. I said, okay, you know one thing. He said, okay, shall I read something from Savitri? I said, yes. So I told him the story of someone. Someone is our society chairman, Pradeep Bhai. He told me a story that how when he was feeling suddenly his air sickness, he just had Savitri and he put it to his head and he was fine, nothing happened. So I told him, see, this is remedy has worked. Well, you can try it because, you know, he's not that good in English. So I said, maybe you can try, just hold Savitri to your heart. As soon as he lands, he gives me a phone call. Alok bhai, Alok ji, what a wonderful remedy. First time in my life, I never felt anything. Just hold, so much they have given. Limitless. How it will create a zone, atmosphere. She says, and she tells this in the context of illness. She said that, well, one of the causes of illness is ill will. There are always people of ill will around. Even with, by the way, in industries, there may be people with a lot of ill will against a particular group. It says that, you know, about ill will. So he says, if you are very individualized, one of the advantage of being individualized is that it is a kind of safety. Because people who are individualized, who are not affected by society and other opinions and viewpoint, they have their own, they create a kind of shield. But not very few are like that. Most people are moved by public opinion, Insta, reactions and God knows what. So you are subject. If you are moved by public opinion and social opinions, you are a slave to the forces that drive it. Simple as that. But then she says that, well, I am not suggesting that you don't go out. That's not the solution. That I'll not go out because obviously ill will and all forces are everywhere. She says, on the contrary, create your own atmosphere. So even while flying or anywhere, create an atmosphere. Mother goes on to say, I have seen the difference in the atmosphere of those who have a mantra and those who don't have a mantra. These are her words. She has spoken of, you know, somebody used to do japa of Durga. She is the power of protection. And mother didn't know, but after the Bengali couple came and went away, she says, do they worship Durga? She said, yes, mother. They worship Durga. She said, oh, no wonder. All the time while they were here, Durga was here. These are things which was ingrained in the stuff of our life. We have lost that in the so-called extreme mechanical. I'm sorry to say, but this is what I felt in the US last year, and I communicated that. I said, with AI and all this, I suddenly felt that the extreme mechanical world, which is operating where the human heart is as if it has no place. This was just an impression. Then nothing happened. Everything was nice. All the people where I go, they are very, very loving, kind, and they take care so well. But at the airport, I felt it. So I wrote something like a prayer and it continued a few days, that prayer, that, you know, I felt that the whole world has been as if a kind of network has taken care. And I'm not paranoid or I don't have that, you know, pessimistic attitude where you see darkness everywhere. I'm in fact a compulsory optimist. So, but I felt it. I felt it and I wrote about it. That heart is missing. Where is the heart? I don't feel the vibration energy of love, which is what I am looking for anywhere and everywhere.
Yes.
If I don't find that in a group or a community or in a place, I feel something very crucial is missing. And I felt for the first time, I have traveled 25 times last so many years, first time which I attributed to this AI stuff going around, that there is energy of love is missing. That's why. You know. And well, now you see what is erupted in US. Less than a year. The heart is revolting. Actually, we can look at it in so many ways. But the heart is revolting. Look what is happening in Oroville. The heart is revolting.
Yes.
You can't iron out things by a kind of mechanical pressure or a logical, analytical thing. You have to take into consideration the human heart and how the mother and Shubindu would deal. Keeping that in mind, we should be very careful.
And where is the harmony?
It won't be. Heart will create harmony. No amount of intellectual analysis and debate discussion can create harmony. And wherever there is harmony is missing, there the forces of disorder, chaos will find a free room. Yes. They have a free pass.
Have you ever had this experience when you were speaking to a group of this negativity?
Oh, I remember one. So, but that was very, two experiences. One was to a group of devotees. But devotees means there was a man who was extremely egoistic, who was all about himself and his birthday celebration, God knows, which I'm personally so against this eulogizing, honestly, I feel. I mean, people should forget, you know, a person has done the work and gone, his mother's child gone. People eulogize. So he was all self-eulogizing, then somebody else, and I had to read Savitri. I suddenly started experiencing lot of chaotic noise all around. So I was, then nobody was speaking. So I was supposed to speak for God knows 45 minutes. Anyways, when I speak, you have to stop me from talking. In 5 minutes, I stopped. And another, which was very funny, that was in Nairobi. So there I was taken to meet, there was a 7-star hotel. All the captains of industries had come from all over Africa. So our friend had arranged that, you know, these are the people. I told him, they, you know, don't go by captains of industry. It doesn't mean, but anyways, I had gone and he used to call me 24/7 channel. You tell him any time to speak on Mother and Shurvindo, any topic and he will speak. So he was taking full utility of all the time. 4 talks, 5 talks, wherever he took me, suddenly this group. So I went. Now, there I stood up to speak. It was like the typical Rotary Club system where you have those tables and, you know.
Yeah.
I have never understood that culture. It always seems to me that be sure you have come for drinking and dining or you want to listen to the speaker. But anyway, since I was there, I had to speak. And I saw there was a picture of a bird of paradise. And I remember the speech started like this, that, you know, we all have a bird of paradise, but we have caged it in artificiality, like the picture there. It cannot fly. Bird of paradise, not the plant, the mother said, but actually, you know, that love bird.
In a cage.
In a cage. I said it cannot fly. Then I started experiencing that all the words were going like this. This is way back, this in 2000, before I went to my first visit to America, before that. That was my first visit outside India.
Oh.
So the words were going like this, literally. And there was a wall. All these people were sitting, apparently attentive. There was a wall and it came back. And it was entering back into me. So it would go and come back. Go and come back. So what I spoke that time were some very strong, strong statements. So after 15 minutes, I said, yes, that's all. And everybody usual clap and thank you so much. So, my friend who had sponsored my trip and, you know, he said, what happened to you? I said, you're taking me to, you know, throw that time, you know, quoted something from Ayn Rand, I shouldn't have, but because she's no more any favorite of mine at one point of time, you know, her books appeal to a very young generation. So I said, you know, you can't throw pearls before swines. Said, they are pearls. You cannot. That's why I'm not too keen on all these symposiums and honestly seminars, you know, because all kinds of forces, but still okay. But there are people who are totally not willing. You have put them, because you are a multimillionaire or billionaire, God knows whatever it means, because ultimately it's what you spend that makes you rich and what you give. As the mother says, it's what you give that makes you rich. It's not what you have. And this is practical wisdom, because what you have, if you have not used it, one day you will die and leave it, and your children are definitely going to be spoiled by it. Like the another airline. So give it for something beautiful while you are still there. So I said, you see, these people, they are living for purely their selfish interests. They are amassing wealth beyond measure. Do you think they are ready even for a basic spirituality? Forget about, you know, yes, they will give some money or Birla, you know, Birla and Ford.
Oh, yes.
Birla never gave money to the ashram. And when somebody asked him, he gave money in so many causes. And when he was asked, he said, I'll give money, but on there should be one plaque. For Golkund, he wanted to give money.
Oh, yes, I remember. And
you remember, no? Yes. Mother said, okay, place it, we'll take a plaque. She laughed. Ask him that we'll place it on the floor. This was her way of communicating. Ford. Henry Ford.
Yeah.
He had that, you know, I have a question. If somebody can answer this, I'll pay so much, give so much donation. The question was, does the soul exist? Something like prove to me and all. The people said, Mother, said, you want me to get into this kind of stuff? Let him keep his money. In yoga, Sri Krishna says that don't give this knowledge to just about anyone and everyone. It's something treasure beyond measure.
Yes.
So, what I'm saying is being devotee follower is okay. But to live that life, to invoke the mother in everyday situation, circumstance, life is so beautiful. Even catastrophes can change. Even a group can be saved. That reminds, by the way, of Udhar's story.
Yes, exactly.
Remember?
Oh, yes.
So Udhar is traveling in the train. Many people may know, some may not know. So Udhar is traveling in the train and suddenly the train meets an accident. Everybody wakes up with a jolt. Nothing happens to anyone. And there were some villagers outside, I mean some local people who saw the whole thing. And they had an impression that the train was suddenly raised and kept back. So Udhar asked the mother. He says, yes, yes, but you didn't tell me which seat you are. You told me that you are in the train, but you never told me which seat you are sitting in. Which compartment. So I had to save the whole train. Otherwise it would have met the normal determinism and possibly he would have been saved. But many would have died because you are putting under material, mechanical determinism. There are many people. But because of him, there were people who were saved.
Yes.
And this has been done not only, you see, this is a, for mother, it's a very small, what you may call as a miracle. There are other, I know of, you know, who is that? Hanumanji's incarnation in Kaichi Dham. Neem Karoli Baba. People know about his accidents, have been suddenly trained. So all this is there, it documented in the spiritual literature. With mother, this is nothing, if you ask me. Just imagine the whole train, that okay. And Shurbindo reminds this with regard to fate, this fated event. So he says that he speaks about Augustus Caesar, and which we know is his own vibhuti. So there is a messenger who is going to give a message. So he is afraid that, you know, what if I am killed or something happens to me. So Augustus Caesar says, you are not carrying a message. You must know you are carrying the fortunes of Caesar. You are carrying the fortunes of Caesar. See, that's how life should be like that. It's not about dying, reborn and looking at it, oh cruel God, and then crying like one of the words people use, innocent. So I asked them, who is innocent? The last innocent person was driven away from the Eden, Garden of Eden. There is no innocence. Where is the innocence? Even in children, You may say that things have not come out. So this word they use very commonly, innocent. Now I am not saying that anybody should ever be hit or meet an accident or be punished. But let's not use these words so casually just to evoke some sentimental reactions. Because if one wants to know truth, you have to be impersonal. Knowledge cannot come if your emotions and sentiments get personally involved in it. You have to be impersonal. You have to be wide. You have to be quiet. Then things will emerge.
If there are any questions, please feel free.
Yes.
So, I read this story where mother saved the whole train. But how does it work? Like, what was the wisdom in that moment that there are so many people about to die?
Okay, yeah.
And just because of one person,
yes,
he has to save the whole.
Yes, so train. There is, I'll first quote one of the Hindi couplet because I love it. Then I'll give the English translation and explain the wisdom. So the Hindi couplet goes, Prabal prem ke pale padkar Prabhu ko niyam badalte dekha. Apna maan rahe na rahe par bhakt ka maan na talte dekha. So there's the saying goes that intense love which the Lord feels towards his devotee, due to that he changes the laws. And then he says that even if people call him, you are partial, you are this or that, but he will ensure that the bhakta is defended. Because he can set it right. That's how grace works. It can annul the karmic law entirely.
Exactly.
And it can do it for a group because of one person. Now that's where the vastness of the divine grace comes. For it, it's beyond logic, incalculable. If somebody is, that's where the word devotee comes. A devotee depends for everything on the mother. And then Shobindu says, he quotes from the Gita, Yogshem Vahamyam, he takes care of everything. Point is, are we really depending like that? So the wisdom is only that these people were so fortunate that at that point of time they were in the company of someone without realizing who is joined to the eternal. And there are many stories of that kind. And one of them is that, it's again coupled by your favorite Tulsidas. He says, Hindi I'll say first and then the English. Ek ghadi ya do ghadi aadho mein puni aad tulsi sangati sadhu ki hare koti aparad. He says a moment or half a moment of the company of a bhakta, sadhu in whatever way, a good human being who is not good in the human sense, only good, who genuinely from the heart, a man of clear heart, with goodwill in his heart, that has the power to cancel many things. So there is no ineluctable destiny. That's what it means. And even group, which is going to be in imminent disaster. Now people may not recognize, because unfortunately they see the outer dress. Sadhu is like some white dress or ochre dress or God knows. So that kind. But if you are in the company of a genuine person who is truly inwardly connected to the mother, this very company is enough to take away much of the sting or the karmic consequences, the sting of death, because it cannot come near. See, that's the beauty of the story even of Savitri and Satyavan. So people ask, what did Satyavan do? I said, he surrendered completely. That's not an easy thing. So then, as the story goes, first death sends his minions. And mother says they are there. They are quite an organization. So even in accidents, first it's the minions. There is a time and go, create a disorder, is going, disaster is going to take place, have a feast. So the minions come. The moment they see Savitri is sitting by the side of Satyavan, says, which is impossible, we cannot go near the man, forget about, you know, killing him. So they come back. So finally death has to come himself Because the presence of the atmosphere that radiates around those who love the Lord, and more importantly, whom the Lord loves. Everybody claims that I love Lord. Why he loves, whom he loves, that of course at a one level all he loves, all he moves, all are his, all are he. But there is a special grace which the mother says, there is a general grace, but there is a special grace which accompanies those who have given themselves to the Lord. And the company of such a person, even few moments, can have a very great effect. Now, why some people are there? She says that there are some people who have a knack of being at the right place at the right time. So when the divine wants to give them something, they are present. Equally, she says there are people who somehow are missing just when the moment comes. And one of the instances was here when mother had given a certain time for meeting or meditation. I'm forgetting the incident, but there was a time, a collective.
Was it about the lady?
No, that's different. There's two people who, you know, meditation, and then there was something to be distributed. Now, these people went to bazaar and then they said, okay, distribution, we'll see it later. And they didn't come. And the mother remarked, I wanted to give them something, but somehow they were not there. So now that is very difficult to fathom, why some people are around in this way, the configuration of the stars or so there is nothing like a fixed fate. That's what is important. So divine can cancel everything and overwrite everything. That the grace can do it, not ordinary human this thing, to save one person and all get saved. Yeah.
So you started to talk with desire, collective desire. Very personally responsible, because if I fuel my desires, it's, for example, I look for the lowest price by flying, and, you know, try to push the marketing into it, all it flows into that final decision. So now I feel like I'm slightly responsible in the whole thing, but of course I see that if I conquer a little bit of it, am I
yes, so there is always this temptation. May I say it in a little different way? There is always a temptation to buy Chinese maal because it is cheap, but it is at the expense of quality. So I have made it a point. The moment I see Chinese maal, I don't buy. Not because anything against China, but now, airline tickets is a different issue. You know, there is a huge money involved, and you should not, one should have certain amount of frugality. And that's a different thing. It's a different area altogether. Now, that way, if you start calculating, there is no end to it. But yes, cheap should not be the only consideration. There is no doubt about it. So, because the moment you go for that, you are setting lower standards. And you know what mother spoke about Sri Aurobindo's books? So somebody wanted that they should be much cheaper available. It should be available at a much cheaper price. You will see many places. In Kumbh Mela, 10 rupees, 20 rupees. And people ask, why are Sri Aurobindo's books so costly? So this question was raised. He says, no, you cannot bring the price down below a certain level for Sri Aurobindo's books. So there is something which goes with, if you want a class, one has to pay for it. So I am not saying that in airline we should deliberately look for a higher, because that obviously doesn't work like that. But definitely quality is important. As I said in my own instance, so I would love to travel with Air India, but the moment I saw the quality going down, I changed the carrier very sadly, because that's something which I don't want, though they were giving a cheaper option. Even this time, they were giving a cheaper option. Sometimes a more comfortable option. But because I realize that this is to encourage unprofessionalism and lethargy and casual, careless attitude. So yes, in everyday life, it is not something which should be encouraged. I quite agree. But one should not take it very conscientiously that, you know.
I'm not just talking about the airline price in general.
In general, yes.
Down ourselves, it collectively helps.
desire, if you bring them down, you'll feel a free person. In fact, most of the time you'll feel nothing I really need. So honestly, reduction of desire, and if you can get out of it, it's peace and freedom and joy. Very few things one needs, honestly. So that's, of course, and every little victory at whatever level helps. I quite agree with you that, you know, every little victory that you want to buy this and you hold, and it helps. It's a different thing that if you master desire or do that even in some measure, what you need will come to you 5 times more. The mother gives the example of when once she said that because she was an adept in the Buddhist discipline and she would not buy things for herself, and she saw the petticoat, she felt she needs a petticoat. And she says the next day 5 of them came. So you will see that you know, when you stop chasing desires, desires will chase you. This is the poem on karma. So he says the rule of the game with regard to karma: they who chase me shall lose. They who do not chase, find. Now, this is the paradox. Of course, it should not be done with this idea. If I don't chase, I'll get this. You lose in all likelihood. But rise above gain and loss, and some aspect of it's important to be careful about quality. So I have made certain rules for myself, like halal certificate, I don't buy. Why? Because I say I don't want to encourage religious fundamentalism. That's my logic. It's not just about a nation. I said this is a sign of blatant fundamentalism. I don't want to buy anything which is going to encourage fundamentalism. So now, if people have that, it'll be wonderful. As you said, that you know, we become conscious buyers, to put it in a nutshell, not just unconscious looking only at the fare. It's important, but that's not the only consideration.
I would like to end with just a few thoughts on karma. Because we have heard, we have read, and some of us have realized that Mother can take all karma away.
Yes.
And yet many of us still have to go a long way. And Sri Aurobindo says there's only 2 kinds of karma that cannot be erased. And he calls it utkata karma.
Okay.
And that is suicide and murder. Mother said it would take 7 years.
Yes.
Seven rebirths.
Yes.
So seven rebirths.
Yes. So that's the story which is there in, you know, the 3 types of karma. There is the prarabdha karma, Sanchit karma, and the Utkat karma. So Utkat karma is suicide and murder. But Mother says that even this grace can annul. And she has given the example, I think you were mentioning or somebody was mentioning it there in the agenda. So there is the story of this Sat Prem's brother. So he has committed suicide. He doesn't know about Mother, doesn't believe in divine, he is an atheist actually, not even an agnostic, he is an atheist. So when he says, Mother, my brother has committed suicide. So Mother says, okay, so can you describe him? The mother says few things and he says, yes, yes, like that. And finally he describes it, oh, now I see, I understand. She said, what? He says, he came to me straight away after his death and he is with me. So Sat Prem says, but he didn't believe in you or believe in God. She says, it doesn't matter. Just because of being connected to Sat Prem, which he doesn't say, you know, he is able to come, find himself. And he has committed suicide. there are other examples. And in the agenda, she also says, when she speaks about people who die here, come straight to me,
yes,
to Sri Aurobindo. And then she is asked, Mother, no, she adds, and regardless of the state of consciousness in which they die. Then she mentions, including suicide. So in her highest grace, everything can be good. But she says it needs an aspiration. Satprem's own life, this suicide thing was following. Satprem and Sujata. She makes very interesting observation. She says, two lives or three lives, they had gone through this. And she describes how they also had a vision of it. She says, it's so interesting that Sujata did not carry any scar over her. She did not carry any scar of the suicide. He says, you carry, you are carrying. And she did her to annul that karma. And there she gives that sometimes aspiration is enough. Then she says, sometimes even if you don't have the aspiration, just faith is enough that the divine grace can do it. Of course, this is not going to be, we should not expect it to be the norm and, you know, everyday life. But the divine grace can completely annul karma. So this is the tradition where they speak about that there are karmas. There is nothing like annulment. It is only mitigation of karma by the cosmic law.
Mm.
So mitigation, you can mitigate, you can do prashchit, all kinds of things. But divine grace can completely annul karma.
Well, now you are off to America very soon.
Yes. So we'll talk about it after I come back.
Okay, good. And we'll schedule our next meeting
yes,
after you return.
After I return.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.